please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Talk, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I'm so pleased and happy to be here with you today with the opportunity for us to have a discussion about the things that impact us today and our future. It is important that we be on top of everything that's going on in the world around us and that people clearly understand our positions. We have to make sure that everyone is aware that we cannot allow other people to decide what it is that we're concerned about or what it is we should focus on and what our positions are. We have to share that information ourselves. And so Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here that so that your word can be heard loud and clear and no one misinterpret what it is that you're thinking. We're going to take some time to make sure that our callers have an opportunity to get on the show. And then we're going to be right back to start our show and discuss the topic of today.
Father, help your children. Don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. Temptation, 'cause he's love.
Well, this is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Today we just want to talk about the environment that has been created by the elections and the environment that exists that endangers African Americans. And how are we going to address these dangers? We have a gentleman named Daylon Roof who participated in killing 9 individuals who were having church in Charleston. He went there specifically, premeditated, to kill these individuals. He sat in church with them for well over an hour, and toward the end of the Bible study, decided it was time for him to start his plan of creating a race war. You know, white America talks about terrorism a lot, and they talk about ISIS and the importance of us defending ourselves against ISIS. But the realization is for African Americans that we have to think about protecting ourselves from white supremacists. And in today's environment, that is more prevalent than any fear that we might have of ISIS. White supremacists are now feeling very comfortable in creating plans and making decisions to display their hatred. They are now feeling very comfortable that a large percentage of white America is in agreement with them and therefore feel comfortable about displaying their hatred for those people of color. We've seen and increased violence related to African Americans, an increased violence related to the destruction of our churches, and the sanctuary and the peace that we find in our church homes. There has been said that there's an increase in the display of hatred directed at people of color now being shown or in our educational system and in our schools across the country. What is it that we need to do in order to address these heinous crimes and displays of hatred openly being displayed against African Americans and people of color? We have to be on guard. We have to make sure that our voices are not silent. We have to make sure that people are fully aware that we're not going to allow our freedoms to be taken away by people who feel emboldened by the likes of Donald Trump and others who feel free to openly talk about people of color being a detriment to our society. It's important that we use every platform available to speak loudly and clearly regarding the kinds of things that are going to impact our lives and the lives of our children. We have to make sure that we remain vigilant and focused on making sure that everyone knows that there will not be a sliding scale of how we will allow people to treat us and display their insensitiveness to our rights and our feelings. The government needs to be held accountable to how we're going to allow people to impact our lives as we move forward. Clearly, the United States has sent a message not only to the Democratic Party, but to people of color, that somehow there is a group of individuals who want their country back. And a lot of times when we hear these kind of notions about we want our country back, we want America to be great again, it's a message being sent to people of color and to women to suggest that moving to a place where all of us are equally respected and appreciated and valued is not where these people want to go. They want to go back to a time where people of color and women were treated as second-class citizens. And we cannot allow people to disrespect what we bring to the table. And in a lot of instances, we have now seen the pendulum move in a direction where white supremacists are being brought to the table and allowed to spew their hatreds for people of color. At what point are we going to say enough is enough and demand that we be heard and demand that we're not going to allow that last vestige of white America to move us in a direction that we will be detrimental to the existence of people of color? We have to be prepared and ready to fight on all fronts. This young man who shot 9 individuals who were in their church praying is going to be a martyr to the white supremacists. He is defending himself in court, allowing him the right to make a mockery of our justice system. He's complaining that there is one black America on the jury. I'm not sure I understand how in the world a jury was selected, peers, without there being more than one African American on that jury. But when the jury renders its opinion and decision, it will say a lot about how African Americans are valued. And I'm not trying to say that African Americans or people of color or women need to be afraid in these next 4 to 5 years. But we do need to be aware that there are going to be many white men and white supremacist groups that look to take advantage of this environment, which seems to suggest that white America and black America and people of color are at odds with one another. That we're in an environment where we have to closely watch and be prepared to think about what steps do we need to take to make sure that we don't have a lot more of these instances where lone white men or white groups seek to make a statement by invading the sanctuary of our churches or invading our neighborhoods and killing people of color. We have to recognize and understand there are people out there who are extremely emboldened by the things that have taken place. And in the next few weeks, as Ruth's trial comes online, he's being tried for the murder of 9 African Americans who were peacefully practicing their religion. and we have to make sure that a message is sent. I don't necessarily, I'm not a proponent of the death penalty, but I understand that some people do certain things that they should be put in jail for the rest of their lives. And that should be a message to other individuals who might seek to harm African Americans in an effort to start a race war. These people have shown a dislike and a hatred for people of color, and we as African Americans need to be aware and on guard to make sure that we look for and are ready to make sure that we make statements related to the behaviors of these groups or these individuals that display a hatred for us as a nation and a hatred for us as a people. We cannot sit back and let white America think that we're going to give them a pass on determining exactly how these people should be dealt with. And we should feel a common fear. And I know when we use that term fear, it does not always make everybody feel like that should be the norm. But we have to be aware that there's a climate out there that is trying to get a foothold in moving the direction of the rights of people of color backwards to a time where we didn't feel safe, to a time where we didn't feel like we were being valued, and to a time where we didn't feel as though our rights were being respected. So I just want to talk today about, you know, what is it that we need to make sure that, you know, here white America is always talking about ISIS and the Middle East terrorism. We need to understand or know that what I think African Americans need to be conscious of is domestic terrorism by these white supremacist groups that are not feeling comfortable to put their purpose and their commitment in writing as well send it out to the general public. This is what I want to talk about today. And the reason why I want to discuss this is because here we are with Daylon Roof's trial coming up. And he has now a jury that is made up of 11 whites and one black. Now, I don't at all feel like he will be found innocent, but the fact that he's going to be using this trial as the means to display his ugliness and further dramatize how this environment that we find ourselves in right now. I have a few of my main supporters online, and I just want to ask you guys, give me your honest opinion about this environment. Do you feel comfortable, or are you aware, or have you experienced some things lately that are different than in the past? We just need to have an honest conversation about what is it, is this environment now fueling some of the racism that we thought we had gone beyond? Cassie, how you do this afternoon? I want you to know I saw your live show of giving away tennis to the young people, and I want you to know that your message is getting out there. And so I just wanted to say that to you before you started talking. But what kind of environment do you think we're in right now? Or am I being a little bit premature with discussing an environment of hatred that it seems to be being fueled by white supremacists in our country? Kathy?
Yeah, thank you, James, for those kind words. You know, we're just doing what we can on our end as far as the organization is concerned. But as far as your topic for this evening, you know, to me, everything is still the same. You know, you go certain places, you go into, you expect that there are going to be people that treat you differently than when you go into another part of a community or another state. So I have heard where people have said that some people have reared up and said certain things, you know, about Trump being the new elect president. But you know what? People are going to continue to say things. They've been saying things from the beginning of time, and they're going to continue to do it. And I'm not going to allow them to stop anything that I have purpose for my life, for my family life. But we're gonna move on. As long as they don't touch us, you know, they can say whatever they want to say, but they can't stop the plan that God has for us. And we have to just remember that it's not about them, but it's about what God wants in our life. And just stay prayerful, because when you go out there, and you may be attacked. So you have to be prayed up in order to sustain whatever that attack is going to be concerning what's going on right now. See, that's the right now thing in the world. You know, everything is about Trump and the people, the Caucasian people, and how they feel very proud now. And, you know, and it's going to be this way and that way. That's what's going on now in the world. But, you know, in the world that I live in, everything still has to move the way it was moving before. So I can't stop and allow that to affect me in any way, but I have to continue on.
Okay. Regina, I see that you are out there, and I want to just ask you, you know, I heard about the fact that Daylon Ruth has now got his jury selected, and there are 11 white people on the jury and only one black. And I'm surely convinced that they will find him guilty. But what do you think of this new environment? Do you think there's a new environment out there right now that's going to be stimulated by this trial and stimulated to be even more visible across the country related to this new political environment that we're in? What are your thoughts about how is this going to impact our lives in the future?
How? Repeat the question.
I just want to know, what do you think? What kind of impact do you think this trial is going to have on the environment that seems to be changing in terms of white supremacists? Or do you think there's going to be a negative? Do you think there's going to be his trial is going to have a negative impact or further division of our race relationship?
Well, now remember, you said he did finish his jury selection today?
Yeah, they finished the jury selection, and he was only upset about the fact that there was one African-American on the jury, and there are going to be 11 white. I don't know what the female or male breakup is, but I know there are 11 whites and one black.
And you're saying Daylon Ruth is upset?
Yeah, he was upset because he has been given permission to be his own lawyer. The lawyers will remain as his co-counsel, but he's been given permission to be his own lawyer.
Well, now, he had the choice, and I haven't read anything on it yet. I'll wait till I get home. But he had the choice. He was helping to do the jury selection. So I'm not sure what's going on with his being upset about the jury selection, but the makeup of the jury is exactly the same. Well, not exactly the same, but the 11 white, one black is exactly the same as the Michael Slater jury. So that's very interesting, and both of them are right there in the same courthouse in Charleston. So all of that being said, I totally agree with whatever is happening in the United States because of the new political environment. In the end, I've still got to move on. Tomorrow morning, I've got to get up, I've got to go to work to make sure, as long as I'm not directly affected, I've still got to do the same things that I've been doing to sustain my life. So until something directly affects me, I've got to keep it moving. Now, the climate as it is now is just like it's coming from underground. It's always been here. We've known it. We've never trusted. Never. But now it's just proving why we didn't trust. And they're very bold with what is going on. I don't believe all Caucasians are thinking like this. But we still got to be very careful and be watchful and prayerful of our own personal environment.
You know, you make a statement, and it's so true. Most of the negativism that I see and the things that concern me about this race division is in the media, the things that I read and the things that I watch on television. I have not been personally involved in any conflicts as of yet, but I am very concerned with what I read and what I see, because there is a trend. We have to be concerned about trends, and we have to make sure we nip whatever is in front of us in the bud so that the trend does not get any momentum. And that's what I'm concerned about. What do we do to make sure that this trend is stopped and turned back? Audrey, what are your thoughts? I mean, clearly there's a trend toward there being more race issues and more people willing to display their hatred for people of color.
Yes, I'm in agreement of what has been stated before, that we have to continue to be prayerful and watch. And I haven't experienced anything differently since the political results. But I do know that people are seeing this or viewing this as an opportunity to, like I said, come from undercover and express their views and take whatever actions they think appropriate. I would like to ask you for clarification, though. Did you say that with the juror, the 11 whites and the one black, did you say that it's going to come out guilty, or did you say not guilty?
I think I'm hopeful and prayerful that he's going to be found guilty. There's no reason for me not to be found guilty, but I'm fearful that this trial will be used as a platform to encourage even more white supremacists to come out and act in this manner. The fact that he has this jury that might be even considered biased, I'm not a death penalty advocate, so I'm not necessarily calling and hoping that he gets the death penalty. I'll be happy with him getting life imprisonment with no chance of parole. But the issue becomes whether or not he will use this platform to encourage even more division amongst the races.
Yes, I think it is viewed as an opportunity to have their momentum continue and build up on it. It kind of started, with the Trayvon Martin killing, and you would have thought that person would have been found guilty, but it didn't. And that's the reason why I want to ask you for clarification, because we cannot take anything for granted. You know, as clear as it may appear and as much evidence I've seen things not work that way. And I think those of us that's on the phone, I think we're in the age group and we have experiences from which we've come up in that you're right. We've been through this. We know not to trust and all, but our children haven't been exposed to it, and they don't understand the level of what we're trying to communicate to them. So we have to constantly keep the communication lines open. We have to be aware of what's going on, but we cannot become obsessed with it and, again, let it take control of us. I'm always mindful of where you receive information and who's generating that information and what intentions or what benefit is it to them as they communicate. So we have to just be mindful of the information we're receiving from the media as well as the social media, and we'll see. We have to be watchful as well as pray. But then again, we will have to be prepared to take action.
You said be prepared to take action?
I just want to ask you.
Yes, we have to be prepared to take action because, and action don't necessarily mean negative, but I do know that we have to be able to, again, stand for. We were talking at one time here recently, and we're saying that, you know, we can't let the momentum go that, you know, you give a person an inch and then by the time you turn around, they've taken a mile. What I'm saying is we have to make sure that we take action on things that we are not going to stand for and tolerate such that it will just not become a norm. We will not come numb to things that's not right and not fair. We have to speak up. We have to become unified and take actions and where we start hitting people in the pocket to make sure that the rules, laws that's on the books now, they are adhered to and not just thrown out the window.
You know, that's one of the issues that I wanted us to discuss and be clear on. There are, you know, Regina brought into our conversation that there are two trials right now, two major trials that are going on in South Carolina right now. One of them is the Roof trial where the young man who's about 18 or 19 gunned down 9 African-Americans in church. And the other one, if I'm not mistaken, Regina, make sure I'm saying it correctly, is the officer who's on trial for shooting a unarmed man in the back, and he's being prosecuted for manslaughter or is it murder in Charleston as well. So we have to be prepared to make sure these two crimes took place in 2015, but we don't want to see a surge of these kind of activities to be going on a regular basis. So is that not, both of those, did I describe both of those instances correctly, Regina?
Yes, you did. And before the Michael Slater trial, who is the police officer, before his trial, and before they started the jury selection, there was rumored across social media that the new Black Panthers and the KKKs were all coming to Charleston for that trial, and the folk in Charleston got together and had a press conference and said that those folk were not welcome. They did not want them there. They wanted to handle their situation themselves in Charleston. They didn't want the negative parties coming there. Well, after they had that press conference and they started the jury selection, that was the first jury that was selected, 11 whites, 1 black. So then folks said maybe they were premature about saying that the KKK and the New Black Panthers, you know, maybe they should have come and had a presence. Now it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen since Dylan Roof's people have been chosen, his jury has been chosen. And you said that 11 whites and one black also?
Yes, there's only one black on his jury. And my concern, let me ask you, Regina, because you're in that area, is it that heavily white that that kind of disparity
yes.
is normal?
Yes, yes, James, it is. Unfortunately, the juries are chosen by the voting population of a particular area. So what has happened, and it's happened all over, y'all, all over, and we've read about it, where they come in buying up property downtown. They bought up the property downtown, forced the blacks out, and the whites are, you know, living there now. So that is a replica of the folk who live in that area.
Well,
and that's
certainly
why it's
we need
so
to be...
important. That's why it's so important for us to register to vote, hold on to our family property at all costs. And you know, like I said, register to vote so that we can be represented on these juries. This is crazy. You got me tonight, James. You got me. I hadn't seen it. I'm upset.
Let me ask you, Kathy. Are there any trials of this sort that you're familiar with right now going on the West Coast? Or do you find a lot of the major trials having this kind of disparity related to the number of whites versus blacks on major trials?
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, I don't have any information on that question.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Going back to the beginning, do you feel things have gotten better or worse since the beating of that took place and created those race riots in Los Angeles? I'm sure you were aware of that then. What is the climate like? Does the climate feel better to you? Are you more confident in the system that African Americans and people of color get a fair shake?
You know what? I'm confident in how everything seems to be going in the United States. In California. Sorry about that. But the only thing that's going on now is people are still upset about the Donald Trump thing, so they're still protesting concerning that. As I stated earlier, it's like whatever is in the know at that time is what's going on. Now everybody is protesting. You know, everybody's coming together, blocking the streets, blocking the city hall, protesting because of the president-elect. There hasn't been any more information set out around in the cities that I'm around that I've heard concerning, the shootings of the officers and the people in the community. The only thing I've heard of is that they've started to have town hall meetings where the community come in and talk to the officers about how to better serve the community and how to connect more. So that's the only thing, and I haven't heard of any trials.
Well, Regina, let me ask you, what is the feeling of most of the people in terms of the white officer who shot the unarmed black guy? What is the feeling of people that you come in contact? What do they think the likelihood or the outcome of that trial might be?
Folks that I'm coming in contact with believe that he's going to get off, that he's going to be set free. And the reason that is that they're going to really bring in the background of the gentleman who was killed, and with the jury makeup being as it is, then you can pretty much tell what's going to happen. Now, honestly, with the Dylan Roof case, I agree with you, James. He's going to go to jail, and he's going to go to jail for life because they want Charleston to still be standing.
Well, can you give me any of the details related to the officer? How did that come to be? How did the incident get started, and how did it come to light that the awful thing that he had done?
Well, they did a police because of a tag or a tail light or something, and then once he got to the the identification of the man, they found out that he was wanted on a bench warrant, a family court bench warrant, and the man did not want to go to jail for that, and so he started running, and when he ran, the officer shot him in the back. Now, the thing that has really fueled this is, had there not been a citizen filming all of this from the other side of a fence, you would never have known that the man who was killed was running away and that he was not armed. So it was because of the video that the officer actually was charged with the charge, made the charge.
And so even with the video, a lot of the people that you come in contact with don't feel confident that he will be found guilty, even with the video showing exactly what took place?
Am I not mistaken, didn't the fellow who was caught on, who was killed in the car and his girlfriend was sitting in the car with him, didn't that result in a hung jury?
He's being charged with manslaughter and first-degree murder. That trial has not came up yet.
Okay, there was another trial where there was a hung jury. But what happens is they bring in the background of the victim, and that's the bottom line. They bring it in, and they introduce that.
You're right. The hung jury was the one that happened off a college campus, where the college police officer shot the man in the head during a traffic stop. So that is one who may go back. They may retry him. They have not decided on that or not. Audrey, let me ask you. What are your thoughts in regards to one of the statements you made was, we have to stay vigilant and on top of these things, making sure that people know that when we're upset about the outcome of some of these trials, and certainly you're aware when you go back to some of the awful things that have happened in Mississippi and how long it took for those individuals to be brought to justice. Do you think we're in an environment right now where white America just wants to turn a blind eye to the pain and suffering of people of color?
Yes. Plain and simple, yes. That's my view and that's my thought. I just think that it was a very profound statement with the Trump results. And I think, as you see the selections that he's making, and you kind of look at some of the history and the thought processes of some of the people, it's just an opportunity for some whites to be given a free card to just do some of the things that they have felt and wanted to do for years, and it just wasn't popular or permitted to do. And that's the reason why I said it is so important that we have to take action of not only saying what we will not stand for after the fact, but also just, you know, put something in place such that it won't occur. We, you know, it's not that we just identifying what the problem is. So once we identify it, we need to mitigate it. So what we do to mitigate it is get in front of it. And so the question becomes, well, how do we do that? And, again, that's when we have to become unified. We have to have a purpose. We have to make sure that everyone's involved and doing all they can. And it's interesting to see that, as Regina was saying, that most of the juror selections throughout the United States is built on a pool that has to do with if you voted or not. So, again, not only is it impactful when people do not go out to vote as far as the candidate being selected that will best represent them, then as it relates to how it impacts them locally, they don't have the right to be even considered to be part of the judicial system and serving as a juror. And, again, you'll hear some people saying, I don't want to participate on the jury. What it, that is our civic duty. But if you're not even given an opportunity to be a part of the selection process, then it's tougher for us to make changes.
And, you know, as I sit back and listen to what you say, Audrey, and it brings to my mind that I don't want to let anybody go free that is guilty, but the reason why the juries need to be mixed is because there needs to be someone on the jury that is committed to holding the whole jury feet to the fire related to issues that deal with African Americans. I mean, I just want to say that, you know, if I was on a jury that had to deal with a white individual who had killed someone black, that I would be very vigilant about hearing the information and making sure that the jury did not walk away from there turning a blind eye to the truth. And so anytime that you have situations where there's not a mixed jury, the bias of a particular race might allow them to turn a blind eye to things that are disparity against whites, violence against African Americans. One of the things I used to tell my students when I was in the corrections was, you had to be real careful of going to a trial with an all white jury and you a black defendant. And the reason for that is they're going to be less likely to let you go because they're going to be afraid that you might meet them in a dark alley. And so you have to be aware that you want people of your same color on that jury just to give you the benefit of the doubt, to give you an equal chance or shot at becoming free or getting a conviction. But when you have juries that are 11 white and 1 black, that 1 black can hang a jury, but that 1 black may not be strong enough to fend all those others off if they're in agreement. Kathy, what are your thoughts related to that? I know that you said that. Have you been on a trial? Have you been a jurist lately, Kathy?
I haven't been a juror in the last maybe 3 years, but I have been on a case where it was a mixed race of people, and we were trying a man for molestation of his daughter, and it was a hung jury. So, I mean, yeah. So I have been on a trial before. I'm thinking back about it. And I wanted to say I love you, Regina and Audrey. I miss you guys. But, yeah, James, back to that. I have been on a jury before multiple times, one for a murder trial, and that second one was for the molestation case, and it was a hung jury.
Well, you do understand, though, when you just have one race person how a group of people might beat up on that one person if they're the only one with that position or that understanding of that defender or that outlook. So, interestingly enough, you know, I've been on a few juries, and we came to some conclusions. But, you know, the mixture gives you an opportunity to have people who have different ways of looking at things, which is important to have when you're going to be convicting somebody for something that is as serious as murder. But when you have, you know, if you have a weak jurist, you may come out with a lopsided opinion. Regina, what are your thoughts about these juries?
Can I say one more thing, Jess? Because I was thinking, Regina, let me just say this. As you were talking about the all-white jurors, I mean, but even though that they're all white does not mean that they're all going to stand for the same thing. Because if you notice and look at most of the protests, most of the people that are out protesting and up talking, they're different races, and they're talking against what Trump stands for, not trying to bring that into the midst, but just to try to let you know the heart of people. And every person that is white does not think the same ways that a supremacist or someone that's prejudiced or racist think. So, you know, it could go both ways. It could be people up there that are Christians that, you know, were affected by what happened, because I was just looking on the news feed for that particular incident, and the people were standing outside of the church where that incident happened, and it was a lot of Caucasian people out there protesting against that Dylan man. So if those people are in that particular community, then it may be a little different. It may be that they find him guilty. I don't know, because I don't live, you know, in the community in that particular state, but I know, as for here, you know, you may see five white people, five black people, I mean, you know, together. So it doesn't matter if they're white or if they're Asian, if they're African-American or Hispanic, whatever. But as long as their hearts are right, then we should be able to have a good trial for this particular situation. And also I wanted to add that there is no way that he could try to say that he has a mental issue going on, because if he's saying he wants to be his own attorney, then that tells you right there that he was in his right state of mind when he did what he did. So I believe that they're going to find him guilty.
You know, I need to keep a notepad beside me on this situation. But who was that, Kathy or Audrey talking?
That was Kathy.
Okay. Well, what Kathy said was absolutely right. Now, the difference in the jury is that for the Michael Slager jury, that happened more out into the county. So those folks are more conservative. The Mother Emanuel Church is located right in the heart of Charleston. So those folk are much more liberal, much more. So you will get a fairer trial, Dylan Roof, as opposed to the Michael Slager trial. And also, I just agree with what you all are saying. It's very interesting what's going on. Now, James, I also want to say that I have noticed more of a brazen attitude at my job. My job is one where I go in and help teachers to perfect their pedagogy. And I've noticed within the last couple of weeks that there's been some how do they say, huckabucking and, you know, not wanting to take my suggestions or not wanting to work with me on different things. And that I've been watching that. I've been watching that. And as somebody said, that's not something that I'm going to stand for.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that more of them are not, you know, that more of your colleagues would be taking that kind of position, because probably a number of them feel like they should be the one in those positions. And that's some of the things that you have to deal with when you find yourself in a position that is a lot of white Americans normally hold, and you are one of only a few. So I think that is the kind of issue that we're going to have to deal with and be prepared to be vocal on as we move forward. Audre, I know that you're in the corporate world, and you find yourself in meetings with a lot of people who are different than yourself. Do you find that your thoughts and your feelings are being taken seriously, or is there some ridicule from time to time?
It's always an opportunity to be challenged. And, again, you could say something and someone else would try to get credit for you, even in the same conversation. But what I've learned to do is, you know, bring it out in a nice way. You know, thank you for reiterating what I stated, or thank you for confirming. No, I had to get to that point because I just got tired of it. And in that same meeting, I put it out there. So, you know, that helped to make sure that that stopped occurring. But we have to make sure that at any opportunity, we, again, be proactive in mitigating some items. As a matter of fact, an item was brought to my attention today, and it's a graphic that we're trying to create a logo. And it had two Caucasian males representing, you know, the department or whatever, if you would. And I said, you know, I think the picture is fine. I think it looks good. But I want you to go back and have one of the participants demonstrate a little more diversity. He knew exactly what I meant. But I was not going to let that opportunity pass. And I could have very well just go with it. But I think we have to make sure that we, again, we are in places and positions.
I think Audre just got stopped. But, you know, I wanted to say, especially with you, Regina, when I listened to her speak about making sure there is diversity. And hold up, she's back.
I apologize. I don't know why I keep dropping. But that's why I was just saying that we just can't. Okay, I just wanted to say we just can't let opportunities pass us by because others will view something and just try to, you know, build on it and take advantage of it. So we have to be mindful. And, yes, I have experience where people – may not necessarily have wanted to take me seriously, but, you know, you work around that, and once they know that you're going to stand for it and you're going to call them out in front of it, they start changing their tune.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We don't ran through this hour real fast, and when we come back, we're going to do our final thought for today, and I want to get everybody's final thought or, you know, what, you know, the final word. And so everybody get their thoughts together, and when we come back, we'll have our final word.
Turn off the light. Light a candle. Tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah. Let's take a shower, shower together. I'll wash your body, you wash. wash my hands. You're the only one in the world that I need. I wanna love you all over. Tonight I'm in a sexy mood, ooh, baby. And I can't tell. Girl, there's something that I wanna do to you.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And before we get to our final word, our final thoughts, I just want to share with Regina and with Audrey that Kathy has been here all during the holidays, and she stayed strong, and she stayed committed, and we talked about y'all something awful about how y'all just left us in alert for 4 or 5 days. But I want y'all to know we talked about y'all and missed y'all tremendously. I know Kathy
don't be sad, I said to put it in.
Huh, what? Oh, so you ain't got my back, Kathy. Is that what
no,
it is?
No, no. No, 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 Jay.
Kathy, you were with me every day, Kathy, except for yesterday. You cheated on me yesterday.
I was with you, but I wouldn't say anything bad about my sisters now.
You don't remember us discussing how your sisters took a break over the holidays and was just fat catting it. And even Regina talking about she wasn't going nowhere, and she didn't show up for 4 days, even though she said she wasn't going nowhere.
I was depressed.
I was depressed. Well, I told Kathy, I said, Regina said she wasn't going to see no family, and then she took off. I ain't heard from her. Now, at least Audrey had the decency to send me pictures of her fat catting it on the beach.
They didn't send me pictures. They need to get on my Facebook page. James,
what's your Facebook page?
I don't know. I think it's Regina E. Williams.
You don't know.
I'm on James. James, aren't I on your page?
Yes,
oh,
you are.
Gina.
Well, I just want to say I'm gonna give everybody the last word, but I just want to say that Kathy was with me them days. She didn't leave me. She didn't leave me talking to myself. And that's okay. You know, I know my people were out there eating. I know my people were out there eating and enjoying their holidays. So I'll give you some slack for that. And again, like I say, Andre sent me some pictures of her and her family really enjoying themselves at the beach. So I understood that. But so we're going to start with Kathy. What are your last words for today?
My last words for today is that I ordered my free hug T-shirt, and we will be giving away free hugs real soon.
All right, all right. I told you that mine came, mine is a 3X, so I got to get a little smaller before I feel real good about going out and displaying my shirt. But I did have my Black Lives Matter T-shirt, and when I went to the gym the other day, a white female at the desk said, "Oh, I really love your shirt." And I said, "Thank you." So I look forward to wearing my free hugs shirt, because I like that kind of attention. That's why I wore it, because I wanted somebody to say something. And so she was the only one who said anything.
That white lady going to give you a free hug.
Well, I don't know if she's going to come across the desk and give me a free hug. I am going to wear it. But, again, it's only a 3X, and I needed a 5X. So I got to wait a little while before it looked good. Andre, what are your final thoughts for today?
The importance of being active and staying involved, be aware of our awareness, and let's help each other to stay in tune and take action. And, Kathy, thank you for being faithful and representing us. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I just want to let y'all know, on yesterday, Andre, toward the end of our radio show, did another one of her impromptu singing. I don't know if I got it on recorded, but I sure am going to try to get it out there to everybody. She was singing up a song toward the end of the show. And she just thinks she's a diva when it comes to singing. I don't know. But anyway, Regina, what are your final thoughts for today?
My acronym for the next 4 years, MOS, mobilize. Once you get the people together, organize. Once you've gotten organized, then strategize. Have strategy. MOS. And
well,
to do that,
I am all for that. I think that we cannot wait till. I don't think we can wait till 4 years come before we start doing what we need to do. I think we need to start immediately with winning back the Congress and the Senate. And I think we need to be prepared and ready to fight a war that's going to bring our country back to where it should be. I want to thank all of you again for your support. Thank you, Andre and Regina, for returning. And thank you, Kathy, for being here each and every day. And we look forward to being here again tomorrow on Thoughts, Love, and
Peace. You're not going to let us live it down, Andre. You're not going to let us live it down, Andre.
You've got that right. Yeah, hey, every time I get something I can get to put my hand on, I'm going to take advantage of it. So, yeah, you got that right. So, I want to just tell you, we'll see you all tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, on the show where your voice will be heard loud and clear. See you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Of your hand makes my pulse react. that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical. Must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It may seem to you that I'm acting confused. Close to me. If I tend to look dazed, I read it someplace. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it.